Well, greetings, 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 women of God. I'll say that again. Thank you so very much for joining me today. This is Rosalind Hickman, and I am coming to you today just to share and make my comments on how I see the hand of God moving through this coronavirus pandemic. And I thank you, and I ask you as well, please feel free to share your thoughts and your observations of how you see God moving and what you feel like God is saying for such a time as this. And I'm going to do something a little bit different today, something I've never really done before in all my years of teaching and speaking, facilitating and training classes. I am going to read word for word from my script today. And the reason I want to do that is because I really want to stay focused. And I want you, number two, to be able to follow along. And I don't want to get off on a rabbit trail. And, you know, I love the subject so much that I'm about to talk about with you today. And most of you who know me know that. And so it's very difficult for me not to make comments along the way. But that is my goal for our time together today. So let's just get started. I wanted to start off with a question because I've actually entitled this commentary, A Question. And the question is this: did God just send families back home? Did God just send families back home? Laugh out loud. LOL with three exclamation points. Now, it's no secret that today's families are a long way from home. And as a result, things are a mess. You know that things are a mess when schools close and parents ask, what are they going to do with their own children? You know it's a mess when the role of the parent is outsourced to teen coaches, daycares, before school care, after school care, the YMCAs, recreation centers, TV/cell phone sitters, sitters, and last but not least, summer camps. So I ask, how did we get from that first home that God created in the Garden of Eden to this? And just how far from home are we? That's the question I want you to deliberate on. How far away from home are we? Some wives feel we're on lockdown if we have to stay home all day. Others say we're so far from home that we eat at restaurant tables more than we eat at our own kitchen tables. I can't tell you how many wives I've heard say things like, I'm not cut out for that housewife stuff. That's not me. Or they may say, I can't deal with those children of mine all day. I've got to go to work. I've got to go to work. Okay, so this would be a good time right here and a good place to plug my book. My book is entitled Anybody Home. I wrote this book about several years ago, maybe 6 years ago now. The subtitle is In Search of the Titus Woman. Of course, you can see that's coming from Titus chapter 2. Where we are commanded the older to teach the younger. And I'd like for you to just grab that book if you have it already. If you don't, I'll tell you in just a minute how to get it. If you would grab that book and read pages 123 through 125, it's under the heading of summary. So we addressed these kinds of comments there. But also, if you want to get a copy of Anybody Home, you can do so really simply just by texting me your order, how many you want, your name, your address, and your phone number. Please be sure and include your zip code on your address. The cost of the book is $11.99, and there's a plus shipping if we have to mail it to you, and I don't mind doing that, but I will also autograph it for you. So that's the quickest way. If you don't want to do that, you can go out on Amazon and purchase that. But let me just ask you this. Do you recall the television commercial that asked the question, what's in your wallet? Well, let's imagine the Lord asking us a similar question with a slight twist. What's in your home? How would you answer that question? What's in your home? Well, the good news is when you answer that question, you will automatically answer our initial question, just how far from home are we? So what if God came down in the cool of the day and visited us like he visited Adam and Eve that beautiful, cool evening? Would he say the home he gave us was good and very good? Would he say we're doing a great job of dressing and keeping the home? Dressing and keeping as in cosmetically, orderly, spiritually, economically, and finally, not least, morally. How are we doing? What would he say? That's what he really meant when he said, for us to be fruitful, multiply, we get that part, but replenish, cultivate, and keep the garden. God was very pleased with how Adam and Eve took care of the garden right up until they decided to do things their way. So wives, in particular, are we dressing and keeping the home anymore? Would our answer finally reveal what's in our home, or better yet, what's not in our home? Could it be that home just never seemed that important to us? After all, there are many more important matters in life that require our attention than home. So many people are dependent on us to keep things going at work, at church, and the children's school. Until once we do all of that, home never seemed to have been a priority. Not to mention pursuing the things that we really enjoy doing and the career we've always wanted. Why would we forsake all those things to be at home? Some wives might wonder, what in the world was God up to when he created the man, the garden, and the woman? What does that have to do with me, they may ask. Well, wonder no more. He actually walked us through it. And being the great producer and screenwriter, quote unquote, that God is, he recorded it so we could see it and read it over and over and over again. Okay, so with all of that logic and human wisdom on the tip of our tongues, let's take a few minutes and review what the first home looked like. Amen? Amen. So let's turn, if you would, get your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 2. And I am, of course, reading from the King James Version. And those of you who know me and are familiar with my teaching, I love the KJV version. Several reasons. I really love the language. And I know that sounds strange, but I love the language of KJV. But also because as a high school Bible quizzer, 10th, 11th, and 12th grades, that was the version we used. And I memorized those scriptures, and I am not trying to memorize those scriptures from another version, okay? But now you are welcome to grab the version of your choice, and let's start reading with verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Last verse, ladies, 20. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a help meet for him. So, okay, that's the word. We read it. Now let's extrapolate. What do we see? What do we see in that first home? Well, the first thing we see in the home before the wife shows up is a single man named Adam, a wonderful, godly man that was created in the image of God. I would love to stop there and talk about the image of God, but I'm sure Adam was a very handsome man in addition to all the other attributes that comes with being in the image of God. But I won't. I will resist and I will keep this post moving. Obviously, Adam lived in a very beautiful home east of Eden like we've never seen since. The trees were gorgeous and breathtaking. The scripture refers to it as a garden, thus the Garden of Eden. Some of the trees were loaded with fruit. Some were just beautiful to gaze upon. And one in particular was called the Tree of Life. The Tree of Life. Oh, Adam had it all. Now, Eden had a river running out from it that eventually split and became four rivers. And those rivers kept his garden watered. You might say these were rivers with a purpose. They each defined and designed Adam's surroundings into four distinct areas. The first river, Pison, surrounded Havilah. H-A-V-I-L-A-H. Havilah was full of gold, delium, and onyx stone. You might say that the land was rich, but so was Adam. Okay. Now the second river, Gihon, surrounded Ethiopia. We are familiar with Ethiopia. The third, Hiddekel. It went towards the east of Assyria. We're familiar with Assyria. And then the fourth river was Euphrates. Now that river is said to be the longest and the most important river in Western Asia. Now, I want to ask you, did you know these rivers had their head? The form of their head was in Eden. That's very interesting. The rivers that we see and know now had their head in Eden. That sounds like a wonderful Bible study or a book even. We could call it the Rivers of Eden. The Rivers of Eden. Okay, so let's get back. The next thing we see in this home is that Adam, who was the steward, the manager, if you will, had a responsibility, and I like to call it a job. He had a job, ladies. Oh, I could stay right there. He had a job. His job was to dress and to keep the garden. God is a God of order, and heaven and earth proclaims his excellence. One scripture even says, how excellent is thy name, O Lord, in all the earth. So you know if his name is excellent, everything he does is excellent. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. It's the Lord's. So keeping God's property is not an option. Adam had the job of keeping what God created and making sure it indeed looked like God created it. God even waited until he created the man Adam before he allowed it to rain, so that Adam would be able to keep it the way God intended for him to keep it. The next thing we see before his wife showed up, God gave Adam rules for his home. R-U-L-E-S. Rules for his home. The first of many commandments, sometimes called do's and don'ts. But he had clear instructions from the one and only God, one and only God. For those who you believe that there are many, there is only one, the one and only God who created him and put him in that beautiful garden. The rules were this: to eat and enjoy all the trees, including the tree of life. We read about it earlier, but not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Remember when we peeked over, we read those scriptures, and as we look back on those scriptures, we're just saying what we see. And we saw him give him rules. Next, we see something that wasn't so good about the home that Adam lived in. Mm-hmm. The Bible said that it was not good that the man, including Adam, should be alone. Why did I say including Adam? Because this statement was not just for Adam. It is not good for the man, the male, to be alone. Be careful right here. God didn't say that Adam was lonely. He said he was alone. The word alone here does not mean Adam was by himself, as in without any other creatures around him. We know he had animals, and even he had the fellowship with God, so he could not have been lonely. It specifically means he was all one, without another like himself. Without another like himself, he was all one. God's design, however, was for the husband to have a suitable helper, also called helpmeet, as we read earlier. So I got a big ouch with the exclamation point there, because I know that is not a popular belief of women of today's culture. Today's culture doesn't like to hear that we were created for the man and not the man for the woman. But listen, we're looking directly into the Word of God, right? It's the Word of God that Christians stand on, because he will have the last word. He started it. He will end it. All right, next we see God's omniscience revealed as he announces what Adam needed before Adam himself could even recognize what he needed. Hence, he gave Adam an assignment that would stimulate his desire for a mate that up to now he didn't know he needed. The assignment for Adam was to name every living creature that God gave him. God had created them and he brought them to Adam, and his assignment was to name every living creature. So as a result, listen, not only did it stimulate his desire for a mate, it also revealed some things about Adam. It revealed that Adam's had authority over every living creature. His intelligence to carry out the assignment was revealed. Adam was intelligent. Adam's submissive and obedient spirit to do exactly what God told him to do. And finally, it revealed his understanding, because in the end, he understood that he was the only creature without a mate. Okay, understanding. Now, the last thing we see in the garden is that God, the one who knew what Adam needed, was also the God who would provide what he needed. We call that Jehovah Jireh. He showed his omniscience, and now he's showing his provision, his ability, his desire, his attribute of being the great provider. He knew exactly who he wanted to make for Adam, and he knew how he wanted to make her. He didn't need to ask Adam how she should look. He knew. God gives us better than what we deserve. When we choose, we mess things up. Mm-hmm. But do you see the exceedingly, abundantly, more than what we can ask kind of God coming through right here? We see the builder of the home revealing his omniscience. We see the builder of the home, revealing his ability to provide all that Adam needed right from the beginning. So when God finished making her, we see him bring his last created being to Adam to name. Don't miss this. God knew that Adam would reveal his understanding of the wife's joint yet distinct role and responsibility with him when he named her woman. Did you catch that? Adam's understanding of the wife's joint yet distinctive role and responsibilities with him when he named her woman. And Adam even broke down the reason behind the name woman in his own words. He said this, because she is bone of my bone. She is flesh of my flesh. How do you suppose Adam knew that? He was asleep. God put him to sleep. How do you think he knew that? Ah, Moses gives us something there to study. As I close out our peep over into the first home, I sense something about Adam's and Eve's relationship with God. These passages don't say this, but based on other scriptures, I lean towards the idea that God coming down to spend time with Adam and Eve was not unusual. I believe they enjoyed a sweet and glorious fellowship with God up close and personal. Whether it was a spiritual presence in their home or a pre-incarnate visit as an angel, I don't know. But I do believe, however, that he was present with them and the fellowship was special. I believe Adam and Eve expected a visit from God. They welcomed him into their home that he made for them. I believe they could look forward to him coming because they knew when he came, he would find everything in order. Would it be okay to say that as he walked those grounds headed towards their home, that they worshiped the ground he walked on? You know, just lightly speaking, loosely speaking. I know they didn't worship the ground. They worshiped God. But because they heard his footsteps, the excitement and the joy that Jesus, God, the Trinity, is coming to see us, he's on his way. We see throughout the Old Testament how it pleased God to walk with our forefathers. We read that many times we'll see, and he walked with so-and-so, and so-and-so walked with him. So we'll use our imagination to help us envision what that must have looked like. Each time, though, he found that the garden and the home was being dressed, it was being kept, and they were enjoying the home that he gave them. There's no doubt Adam and Eve were blessed to have a home that was beautiful, organized, and orderly. Is that your desire? This was life as it was meant to be until that awful day another visitor came to their home. Before God arrived. Yep, you guessed it. Satan himself. Satan made his way into their home, started a conversation with the wife, as Adam would say, the woman God gave him. And I would quickly say, of course, while the silent husband stood right beside her or behind her, he was there and he was listening in. And as a result of that conversation and that silence, Adam and Eve sinned by disobeying the rules and getting out of order. Out of order. They ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And like, if you will allow me, and like Humpty Dumpty, they had a great fall. But also, as one of the comedians jokingly said, he overheard Humpty Dumpty say, Humpty Dumpty said, I did not fall. I was pushed. He said, I was pushed. And so Adam and Eve blamed another for their actions too. Unfortunately, both were put out of their beautiful home, and the rest is history. Now, it really is history. Listen to me, the rest is his story. Whose story? God's. It is God's story. So we call it his story. All right. So skipping a few details of their acts of disobedience, we see that Adam and Eve, they were living with their consequences and they had to move on. They continued to be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and keep their new home. Now, it wasn't like the Garden of Eden home. Adam and Eve were a long way from their first home. They were a long way. We started with that. We're going to end with that. They were a long way from home. But the good news is, ladies, there's always good news. The good news is they will return home one day, never to be put out again. Never to be put out again. In the Black community, we grew up hearing songs like that. Nobody there, when they talk about going to heaven, they say, nobody there will be able to put me out. Nobody. That will be home at last for good. Now back to the coronavirus families. Did God just send us back home? I asked you again. When you look into your home, do you see a beautiful home that is pleasant to your eyes? Pleasant to the eyes of those who drive by, to those who visit, to even God? What would God say? Let me just run through these last series of questions. I ask a lot of questions today because I really wanted it to be thought-provoking. I really wanted it to be something the Holy Spirit and you talked about and began to focus on in a more serious way than maybe you ever have before. So here's what I want to ask. Would God say that you are acting like the helper he created just for your husband? Would he say you're keeping the home beautifully? Would he say you're enjoying the home? You can find in 1 Timothy 5:14 what Paul said about the women and the home. Would he say you have a working man that is taking care of the family and doing the things that God has called him to do because you take good care of him, the children, and the house? Again, 1 Timothy 5:14, those are the top three, the big three, as we might call it. Smiley face, 1 Timothy 5:14. Do you even embrace these as being a priority? Your husband, your children, your home. Would God say you're the wife that knows when? Would God say we're the wife? I'm going to put myself in there. That knows when to speak and when not to speak. Did we learn anything from Eve? Would God say you're doing a great job of helping your husband raise those children in the fear and admonition of the Lord? And finally, would God say that your home models the first home, where rules, order, and the sweet and glorious fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ is a way of life? Well, if not, fret not, fret not. My last three words are, let's get started. Let's get started. That ends my commentary that I wanted to share with you. But I also want to say that I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome that God sent us back home to where it all started, ladies. In computer language, it's called, wait for it, refresh, refresh. You know that little symbol is kind of a backwards circle with the arrow going backwards, refreshing the screen. All right, so I want to thank you, and I pray that you have been encouraged. I want to remind you as I close out that anybody home in search of the Titus Woman is available to you if you would like to get a copy, or maybe you want to bless a young couple with a copy. This book is actually targeting women who are married and who can afford to be home with their children but refuse not to. It actually, at the very end, gives you a way to come home if you want to come home. How do you start that conversation with your husband? What are some of the things you need to do before you come home? I think it's a very good book that gives step-by-step, clear, plain, simple ways that you can come home if God is leading you to do that. But at least begin to pray about it. Our children need us. Amen. Our children, our husband, our house needs us. That's what God intended. Okay, and again, that book is $11.99 plus shipping, all right? So I look forward to hearing your comments, reading your comments. Please feel free to do so. You may do that at the bottom. I'm not sure if you're listening to this on YouTube, if you're listening to this on the website, the blog, Facebook, but please send me your comments and share with everybody what you see our God doing through coronavirus. Thank you and God bless you.